How you all doing? Today, I'm checking in. Oh, spiritual principle. I was asked to speak. I figured I'm done now. It's 2:30. The next talk. I'm just messing with that. Spiritual principles. One of the things that when I first came in, I remember it's spiritual principles, not religious principles. And I've often said that religious people are afraid of hell. Spiritual people have been there. And I'm sure most of us in the group have been there, been to hell. I know in my addiction, I was as close as I wanted to get to it, let's put it that way. So I was thinking, there's six of them I like to remember. And when I was coming over here today, I got my phone out and I just sat and I said, How far am I going to go? You know, thinking honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, faith, acceptance, and humility. I spelled far wrong. I was just thinking about that. I thought that was a good point. I was from Boston. I pretend I was from Boston. I saw somewhere in the Patriots going on in other things. We'll let it go with that. Yeah. I don't know, honestly, when I first came into this program, I was 50 years old. That's an interesting age to come in. And like I told, there's people in here that I've sold drugs since 1974. And probably sold more than all of you here. And still sell drugs. I'm a pharmacist, so. There you go, huh? You gotta think you sold something. But anyway, I get to the point. It's like the honesty. I come in here, I was a closet addict. I was a closet addict. I'm a professional. I should know better. Yada, 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 yada. You know, the whole nine yards. But trust me, when you have the candy store, that's not any easy. That's the thing. When you up, down, the whole nine yards with that. But I had to come in. I had to be honest with myself. You know, I am an addict. I mean, when I got caught, it was funny. The state police, they didn't arrest me at that point. But they said, you almost look happy. Well, it's the first time that my higher power, who I call God, pushed me into the fact that I had to be honest with myself. You know, I am an addict. Here you go. You know, finally I was honest with my family. My wife, my son had a clue something was going on. Of course, he was 16, but my wife, she was sort of clueless, but she knew something was the matter with me. Because, you know, how you get into that point where all you cared about was getting your drugs, that's all you thought about. And, I was at that point. You get to that point. I was honest with myself. Today I have to be honest. You know, let's put it this way. I still work as a pharmacist. Okay? I work in a different type of environment. I'm not a retail pharmacist. I work for, I sell drugs to prison. So every time I go in there, I see, I could have been in here, you know. There was ways to drop their lives. You know, that's what I have to remember. So that's the point with that. But it worked. It was funny because I'm sitting there. You know, some people at work knew this. Anyway, so I got arrested. You know, when you're old, they make appointments to arrest you. If you call me up, hey, it's all right, we arrest you Monday. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. So we're not going to wait in the bushes. So, so they come out and arrest me. And so I went in there, naturally your name's in the paper, and whatever. So I go to work, and it was funny how my higher power takes care of me with this honesty part of it. That night I'm thinking, it was Saturday night, and I guarantee Saturday night I don't go to work till Monday. So, I've rooted on it for a day and a half. So I'm thinking, well, I go in there, I'm going to tell them somebody says I'm going to kick their ass without telling them. And that was me. But so far, so 3 o'clock in the morning, my mother, who's in the home, I had to go to the hospital, I get up with that. And I get home, figure I'm going to take it and get an hour's worth of sleep. What they had, you had to get urine tests for like 3 years. So I call guaranteed. I got to get an order passed. But this is really putting me on the top. So I get there. So I had no sleep. I go in there. Nobody says a word all day. One young girl was sitting there, that was a young pharmacist, said, "Hey, did you read about that guy in the paper?" I said, "Yeah, that was me." So, you know, it was like, at this point, you know, it was like, okay, I was honest about it. Yeah, that was me. You know, and it felt good. It felt good not to have a secret. You know, not to try to be something I wasn't, you know. Yeah, I messed up, you know. I'm honest about it. You know, this is me. That's the thing about it. I don't know. That's the one thing I look for, to be honest with you. Open-mindedness. Hey, like I said, I came in here when I was 50. You know, I remember going to one of my first meetings. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, you know how, I don't know about you guys, when you're 50 and you're old, you go into a meeting, you look around, and you go, holy shit, what am I doing here? I'm way, stuck out pretty good. But after we started reading, then I realized we're all the same. What was interesting, I'm sitting there, and I've told this story before. It was a Sunday night meeting. This little guy there, he's got the leathers on his little biker. He's running his mouth about working stuff to die, MF-er. So I'm sitting there listening to this guy, you know, I'm thinking, so what the hell, you know, what's he running his mouth for? We had 8 years clean. So then I thought, well, I better have a little bit of open mind to listen to what he says. And that's something I've tried to follow, is the fact that, you know, people have things to say. You know, I found out that if you judge somebody on the outside, you're going to miss somebody good on the inside. That's that open mindedness that I find that, you know, that I have to be open to what my higher power tells me as well. You know, that's the thing. I have to be open-minded to the fact that if the steps are in order for a reason. The steps tell a story. The steps are a way to live your life. And if you're open-minded to this, is what suggestions, you know, people giving you suggestions. That may not be somebody with 25 years. It may be somebody with, you know, a week, saying, hey, something they said, get home with me, you know. And I don't know, the how, the W, you know, the willingness. I don't know, when my wife took me over to detox at Baltimore Hospital, I'm sitting in there, so they had to wait, you know, I'm sitting in the emergency room. They put me in there, and what was interesting, there was somebody, it might have been an addict, because she was in the next thing to me, you know, at the curtain gone. She was like suffering. You could hear, oh, the pain. I mean, I thought, you know, the lady was dying. Well, the doctor went in. She supposedly had a bad tooth. It was a miracle happened, you know, and all they would give her is Motrin. The pain went away. Can you imagine that? You know, and it was just like falling itself. Well, then I'm thinking, you know, that's how I am. Except I didn't have to go to the doctor. All I had to do was, oh, I need some of this. I can tell I'm going to need this. You know, one of these, oh, yeah, one doesn't work. You know, two doesn't work. You know, you get down to about three, four, five at a time. And in the end, you're taking maybe 30 a day just to feel normal. Then, you know, that was the thing with it, you know. And I haven't done that yet. That's when I started to realize there are yes in life, you know. I haven't done that yet. I haven't, you know, haven't shot drugs yet, you know. But that's a big yes in life. I mean, that may happen. Yes, I don't know. I'm hopefully not, just for today anyway. But the willingness came to me, and I said, okay, God, that's who I call my higher power. If I have to stand in my head in the corner, that's what I'm going to do, because that's what, whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to do it. My clean date's 2001, May 10th, 2001. And I still go to meetings. My wife says, why do you still go to meetings, you know? I said, because that's what they told me to do, you know? They told me to work the steps to die. Motherfucker, let's put it that way, okay? I'm trying to be good, it's a church, but that's what they told me to do. So you got to apply those steps in your life as well. You know, that's the thing. You have to take those steps. You have to apply them, too. I don't know. That's what I figured out. But the faith. Okay, what's faith? Faith is faith in something unseen. Okay, that's what my higher power is. My higher power is unseen. Okay, you know, you go like this. That balloon moves, right? Am I hitting that? No. But there's something going. I am. I have faith that there's something moving across there. And there, moving across that to make it move. You know, the wind outside. The same thing. That's something we believe that's there, but we don't see it. And the same with my higher power. That's what I believe in. You know, like they say, I call him God. But, you know, to me, he's got my back. And why should I have faith in something that's greater than myself? Well, you know, people say, well, I don't know. I got faith. My higher power is a badass, okay? He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. Omnipresent, that means he can do anything. And omniscient, that means he knows everything. So I'm not going to hide anything from him. You know, I'm not going to say, oh, I got this little secret thought. You can't hear. But, you know, that's the faith. That's what I have. That's my higher power. That's what I choose to call my higher power. So I have faith that that higher power will look out for me and have the best of my intentions. acceptance. Okay? I have to accept the fact that I'm an addict. Yeah. That, you know, 50 years old, you're an addict. Well, you know, you look back, you work the steps, you apply the program to your life, you realize that you were an addict a long time before you ever picked up that first one. You know, the low self-esteem, the low this, the low, you know. My problem was I just didn't start using early enough, I guess. I had all the addict care. You know, I didn't pick up that first one. And that's the problem, you know. I didn't get into that addiction until my mid-40s, you know, what the hell? You know, not that I didn't. Let's put it this way. I didn't find my drug of choice till my mid-40s. Okay, I was in college. I was a, you know, what they call a child of the 60s and 70s. So trust me, I was no angel. But, you know, it's all that I could put down. I found, you know, that, you know, like, you know, they all have it, you know, the opioids, whatever. And I didn't find the one that got me till then. But that's the thing with it. I lost the train of thought. Oh. I was going, having a flashback here. But anyway, that open-mindedness to do whatever they told me to do. This program saved my life. This program has given me a life. I've done a lot of things by being open-minded to things at work and whatever that I never thought I would have done in my, I wouldn't have done it before, you know, before my active addiction. So, and willingness, you know, that's the plan. R. Humility. There we go. Humility. It's that's the one. Boy, that doesn't mean I'm so humble. That's bullshit. That's not what it is. It's not that you're humble. You're less than. You're equal to. You know. Worse, you know better than anybody. That's the thing with it. The humility part, to me, means that you're teachable. You're teachable. That you're willing to take advice. You're willing to take instruction. You're willing to read the book. You're willing to, you know, do whatever it takes. And that's the big thing. It's not walking around, oh, I'm so, you know, you got the little thing on like your little, you know, a little monk or something. No. Humility to me is the teachability, the willingness to listen. That to me is what I think of humility. I think it's humility. And I don't know, those are the spiritual principles that I thought of on the way over here. And that's about all I have to say. So thank you for asking me.